Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. First, a quick preview of the docket. A hearing was held today in Lori Vallow. Will we find out what it was about? A winning defense for a Capitol riot defendant. More dating app meetups gone bad. Have to love a criminal who knows the law. Best excuse to get out of jury duty ever. Just disappear and the charges all go away, right? Not so much. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Dude, where are my drugs? Let's talk about it. All right. Thanks for watching. You know the drill. Subscribe if you have not. Like the video if you do. Leave me a comment and always hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. Now, also remember, you can listen to us anytime on your favorite podcasting app simply by typing in Crime Talk with Scott Reich. It pops up as soon as you type in Crime Talk. All right. Please support the sponsors who help support the channel. Today, it's our favorite background subscription service, all right? Please, go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. So go to crimetalksearch.com, get your subscription today. And remember, you can cancel at any time. All right, let's open the docket for April 7th, 2022. First on the docket, there is a hearing that was held today as related to Lori Vallow. Now, unfortunately, we weren't invited. That's right. Now, what was it regarding? From what we can tell, based upon previous filings, it was the report filed by the state mental health hospital providing their report. Now, we may be able to see in the next couple of days, based upon any orders or movement of Lori Vallow, whether she actually is returned back to Madison County Jail. We'll just have to wait and see. My personal opinion is she's not going to be joining us, but hey, it wouldn't make me sad if I was wrong on this particular one. Well, there was something that had not taken place just yet as it relates to the Capitol rioters. A not guilty. That's right. The winning Capitol riot defense. Hey, the cops let me in. So there was a defendant, a guy by the name of Matthew Martin, who testified in his own defense and was found not guilty by a federal judge yesterday on four misdemeanor charges, alleging that he illegally entered the U.S. Capitol and engaged in disorderly conduct after he walked into the building during last year's riots. Now, Mr. Martin was charged with four misdemeanor counts, entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building, violent entry and disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. Now, Mr. Martin, who was working for a private defense contractor at the National Laboratory in Los Alamos, New Mexico, had a top secret clearance at the time of the Capitol attack and successfully argued that a U.S. Capitol police officer waved him into the building after the riot began. He was fired once charges were brought against him. Well, the video played at the trial appeared to show an officer moving his arm in a waving motion inside the building as the rioters moved past the officer. Well, the United States District Court Judge Trevor McFadden said it was reasonable for Mr. Martin to believe that outnumbered police officers allowed him and the others to enter the Capitol through the rotunda doors. The judge said Mr. Martin's actions were about as minimal and non-serious as anyone who was at the Capitol that day. Now, Mr. Martin's acquittal is a major milestone in the January 6th trials, as there are still hundreds of others who face the same charges as he did. And he is the third Capitol riot defendant whose case has been resolved by trial, but is the first of three to be acquitted of all charges. Mr. Martin testified, "If the cops weren't letting people in, I would not have gone in." That's what Mr. Martin said under oath during his testimony. The judge said the video shows two police officers standing near the rotunda doors and allowing people as they entered as Mr. Martin approached. One of the officers appeared to lean back before Martin placed a hand on the officer's shoulder as a possible sign of gratitude, the court noted. The judge describes Martin's testimony as largely credible. The judge said it was not unreasonable for him to believe that the officers allowed him to enter the Capitol, even though alarms were blaring and broken glass was strewn about the floor. Now, the judge said Mr. Martin appeared to be a silent observer of the actions of others. The judge did not find any evidence that Mr. Martin intended to disrupt Congress from certifying Joe Biden's electoral victory. Now, we try not to get too far into politics because when you do, guess what? That's right. You're going to upset at least 50% of the people. This case is significant because three people have actually gone to trial that have been accused of the Capitol riots. One was found guilty of all counts. One was found guilty of one count, not guilty of another. And now Mr. Martin found not guilty of all counts. There were people early on who were saying that the police let them in and they didn't do anything wrong. A lot of people have pled guilty simply for the fact of avoiding a trial and facing a much more serious penalty. There were some 800 people charged as it relates to these matters. And obviously, the people that assaulted police officers and the most serious cases need to be prosecuted. But if the prosecution starts getting a bunch of not guilties of defendants similarly situated to Mr. Martin, they may have to start reassessing whether they want those cases to go forward. Interesting development. We'll definitely have to see if there's any more people willing to go to trial. So far, most of them have not. Next in the docket, more dating app meetups gone wrong. A man is under investigation for allegedly luring women to rob via a popular dating app and has now been charged with murder after one of his alleged victims died this past week. Now, the Nashville Metro Police Department found 20-year-old Shania Sherrill lying outside the driver's seat of her car after she crashed into a bank building on March 20th. Now, Sherrill was taken to the hospital where medical personnel found a gunshot wound to her head. Ms. Sherrill was placed on life support and died from her injuries on Monday. Investigators identified the suspect as Isaiah Burr and located him at his mother's home in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, last week after a Crime Stoppers tip directed the police in that direction. Burr was charged with attempted homicide, and that charge was now amended to include homicide after Ms. Sherrill's death. But wait, there's more. Please meet Derek Patterson. He is a resident of Los Angeles, lives in the suburbs there of Compton, and he was arrested by the FBI on Monday. And you may ask, why, Scott? Why was he arrested? Well, his most recent robbery occurred on March 26 at the Beverly Hills Hotel, according to the police, and Mr. Patterson targeted victims from November of 2019 through March of 2022 through that dating app called Grindr. He allegedly met the victims in hotel rooms or their homes for sexual encounters, and then he would allegedly pull out a weapon, usually a knife or a taser, and then demand they hand over their money and cell phones. Sometimes he assaulted the victims and later withdrew money from their bank accounts to use their credit cards. Well, in October of 2020, Mr. Patterson allegedly stabbed a victim in the chest, according to police. The victim survived and was able to identify Mr. Patterson as his attacker. Now, a search warrant of Mr. Patterson's phone number placed him near the location of the robbery at the time it occurred, and at another hotel where a similar robbery occurred hours earlier. Well, he is now facing up to 20 years in prison. Be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're going to be careful and so you don't commit dating malpractice, go to crimetalksearch.com and check that person out. You know what you really got to love? A criminal who knows their rights, okay? And we're not talking about their constitutional rights, but they know what they can steal and what they can't steal and what the other person can't do. So please meet this shoplifter who we are going to identify as Jackie. And Jackie claimed that a Dwayne Reed security guard tried to assault her when she attempted to walk out of the store with stolen fabric softener because she needed to do her laundry, for goodness sakes. Jackie said that she returned the item when she was caught at the door and walked out when the guard allegedly grabbed her back into the store. She claimed she was dragged in and that her purse was cut open as the guard gave her a notice that she was banned from all Dwayne Reed stores in New York City. Well, the proud shoplifter she is, well, what did she do? That's right. She blamed the stores for the series of shoplifting incidents plaguing the city and said shoplifters were the victims. The incident comes as Dwayne Reed suffered a series of robberies throughout New York City by teenage gangs stealing prescription drugs. Who is the bigger idiot here? Is it Jackie or the legislature in the state of New York, as well as the city that passes city ordinances that basically makes taking other people's things not a crime? Listen to her interview. You let me know if she's an idiot.
Before I left the store, before I left their premises, I bumped into the security guard and he said that I had something in my bag. I gave it back. I wasn't even out of the store yet. And he put his hands on me and pulled me back into the store, told me that I had to come back in, into the back office, that he was gonna write me a summons. And I said, no, you can't do that. I gave you back your property. I did not leave the store. I was in the store still when I gave you back your stuff, and you're not letting me leave the store. This paper is saying that I am not allowed into any Dwayne Reed in the state of New York. I guess ever. I took one thing of fabric softener, and it was to do laundry.
Next, an honest juror. Finally, you know how I feel about jurors being honest. We saw it in the Ghislaine Maxwell case. We saw it in the Scott Peterson case. It creates issues. The goal, get those jurors off that don't want to be here. Now, take a look at this little video. A prospective juror for the sentencing of the Parkland school shooter, Nicholas Cruz, was excused Monday after telling the judge she didn't really have time for this whole jury duty thing because, well, she was too busy juggling her husband, work, and her sugar daddy. Now, the woman, only known as Miss Bristol, told the court in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that she had a lot of other commitments and that she couldn't really divert her attention from it in order to serve as a juror on this death row case. Now, as you can see from the video, the judge presiding over the proceedings, Judge Elizabeth Scherr, asking whether anyone has any concerns about the requirements asked of them, Ms. Bristol piped up to say not only was the trial expected to take a whole entire month, it conflicted with her birthday, and it's going to interrupt with her love life. Whereupon she let everybody know when her birthday is, and she needed to figure something out, and that really she couldn't take away time from her sugar daddy.
Hold on, let me find your name. Ms. Bristol.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm reading. Says a whole entire month. First of all, let me clarify myself.
Okay.
July 7th is my birthday. The 4th is my son. The 18th is my other son. So that ain't gonna work out for me. Then I'm gonna realize.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Don't talk too fast, please. We have to be able to understand. Okay. So you said that July, there's dates in July that you're not available. What are
July
those dates?
July 7th, July 4th, which is closed. On July 18th. But then again, I need to figure out something. I have my sugar daddy that I see every day.
I'm sorry?
My sugar daddy.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. But
well, I'm married and I have my sugar daddy.
Okay.
And I see him every day.
All right.
And as you can see by the judge's face, she looked a little confused and even asked, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Whereupon Miss Bristol said, well, I'm married and I have a sugar daddy. I see him every day. The judge, somewhat lost for words, said, okay, well, we'll come back to you. Well, needless to say, Ms. Bristol was finally excused, but that is the best excuse ever. The truth. I have heard it all for people to want to get out of jury duty. I'm too busy. I can't take time off. If I don't show up to work, I don't get paid. I've had people say that they were racist because they couldn't be fair to the defendant because of their ethnicity. But hey, I guess at least they're honest so that we can get rid of them and everybody gets a fair trial. But never have I heard somebody say, you're going to interfere with my sugar daddy. I love it. I love it. Next on the docket, if you just go away, those criminal charges go away too, right? Yet, no, they don't. An Iowa man has figured this out. Well, because he faked his own suicide back in 2016 to avoid charges relating to having images of, let's say, children under the age of 12. Well, guess what? The police, the United States Marshals, caught up with him. Please meet Jacob Greer. He was nabbed in Spanaway, Washington on Monday, 6 years after he removed an ankle bracelet and fled from Des Moines, Iowa. Greer had been out on bail when he was arrested back in April of 2016, when he got busted on charges of being in receipt of possession of child pornography. He was living with his grandmother when he removed his GPS monitoring device and left a phony suicide note in the vehicle. He also took with him a survival pack that included a bow and arrow. He borrowed $1,000 from a friend to buy a car and basically got out of Des Moines. Well, Mr. Greer's new car was found ditched at a campground in Montana a few days later. And then on June 3rd of 2016, Greer was spotted at a Walmart in Kalispell, Montana, with a camouflage hat on. Now, it wasn't clear what he's been doing all these years, but authorities have finally caught up with him. He's now in federal custody in Seattle, waiting extradition back to Des Moines. And guess what? Those criminal charges are still there. That's right. They don't go away. They just put it on hold till you show up. And most of the time, they get you. Next on the docket, and finally for the day, our dumb criminal of the day. Don't you hate it when you search all over the house for your misplaced methamphetamine and Xanax, only to discover that maybe the drugs were inside your four-year-old child's lunch bag that was sent with them to daycare? Well, Louisiana police were summoned the other day to a child care facility in West Monroe after staffers discovered narcotics inside a bag carried by the daughter of Jennifer Wise. Jennifer Wise, look at this, dumb criminal and potential Mother of the Year Award winner. Anyway, the police investigation revealed that Wise had left a gram of meth, half a Xanax, and several doses of sedatives of clozapam in the young girl's lunch bag when she dropped her off at daycare. Now, during the interview with police, Ms. Wise reportedly admitted to purchasing the drugs a day earlier for $75, and Ms. Wise said that she had actually misplaced the drugs and was currently looking for them. Whew, can you imagine the relief when she found them? Jeez. Well, anyway, a search of Ms. Wise's residence yielded 9 grams of meth, a digital scale, and numerous plastic baggies used for distribution. Well, needless to say, Ms. Wise has been charged with 4 felony narcotics counts and 2 misdemeanor charges as well. She is currently locked up in the parish jail on a $14,500 bond. But the good thing is, at least she knows where her drugs are. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.